Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is May 21st. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. Now, today's episode is going to begin with some talks about why Dolphins or former Dolphins offensive coordinator Chad Ochoa was fired, and there's some talks about Josh Rosen potentially being traded. There are several teams apparently reaching out per Pro Football Talk to the Dolphins interested in Josh Rosen. So all that is going to be discussed in this episode. But before we begin, I want to say that I do have a YouTube video out on my YouTube channel. It is discussing Madden and why I think the game kind of plays so poorly and has gotten very poor reception as of late. Now, I know a lot of people may not be interested in that, but if you're somebody who plays Madden or who is interested in video games, then you can go check that out, and that is the first of a few series of videos that I do have planned. Now, we move on to some of the Dolphins news, and we will begin with the news regarding former Dolphins offensive coordinator Chad Ochoa, and this comes via a very nice job of reporting. It was a group effort by some awesome Dolphins reporters, those being Armando Salguero, Barry Jackson, and Adam Beasley, who teamed up to do this awesome article. If you want to get a little bit more in-depth look at it, I highly recommend going out and reading it. I think they did a great job on it. And it talks about why Chad Ochoa was fired. And that is because, allegedly, he was fired because the offense was deemed too complicated. And on top of that, it was the players who were saying it was too complicated, and he was unable to teach him the offense. And I think there was a Reddit user who made a great point saying that, if a whole class fails, you know, you can't blame the students at that point. If the whole class fails, you kind of have to look at the teacher. And there was apparently just a high number of people, and of course the Dolphins offense had a ton of young players who were struggling to learn this offense. So at that point, it kind of began to look more like it was Chad Ochoa's teaching that was an issue here. Now, if we go back to when he was fired, it was a shock to many fans, and kind of myself included, because, I mean, at the beginning of the season, you kind of expect any new offense system to kind of be rough, but the Dolphins at the beginning of the season, to say it was rough would be a tremendous understatement to how poor the team was playing. But it wasn't just a new system. When you have young players too, you expect the offense to be even worse, and they didn't just have young players. They had young players that by most standards in the league weren't fit to be starters on a lot of teams. And when you combine that all, it was kind of like it all made sense. But towards the tail end of the season, the offense really did pick up. I mean, you saw how well Ryan Fitzpatrick did. He was kind of my unsung hero of the season. But you saw guys like Devontae Parker really emerge, one of the top 10 receivers, undoubtedly, in my mind. Some could argue top 5 last season. I think he was tremendous last year. He had a terrific season. You look at Mike Gesicki having a career year, and then you look at Preston Williams, who was on pace to have over 800 yards as a rookie, as an undrafted rookie. I mean, they were guys who were having very good performances, and a lot of the talks about development came from guys who were having very strong seasons on the offensive side of the ball. So that all made the Chad Ochoa firing a little bit shocking to me. But what kind of, from this article they did, kind of made it make more sense was that apparently Ryan Fitzpatrick kind of took control of the offense a little bit more because the guys were really struggling to learn it. He had a good grasp on it, and it kind of just became him running the show, is kind of the feel that you get from this article. So, of course, you know, as I just said, Ryan Fitzpatrick was, I think, amazing last year. I think his leadership, more than anything, kind of showed what kind of value he brought to the franchise and what he's going to be able to do in terms of teaching these young players for the future. It's just amazing. But to hear that he kind of took over the offense from the play calling and the X's and O's standpoint, that is just a lot. There is a lot to love about Ryan Fitzpatrick. So that all kind of makes it make more sense why they brought a guy like Chan Gailey. Of course, he has a ton of experience with him through his time with Buffalo, where they said off the rip that Chan Gailey said that Fitzpatrick was his guy. And then, of course, they paired up again over there in New York, where he had a pretty good season in 2015. He never really had the great talent, and the offenses weren't, you know, at the top of the league, but he really did have strong seasons with a lot of weak surrounding cast around him. So I think this was all interesting because it did kind of clear it up. It did kind of give some closure. Chan Gailey's offense, you know, is a spread offense, and it has been regarded by many to be a lot more simple. And if you have a lot of young players and they want something to learn and pick up on easier, this Chan Gailey offense has a lot of that. just because he is 68 years old, a lot of people have this idea in their head that they're going back in time, that he's going to implement some old school pro style offense, which is not the case here. He wants to throw the ball downfield. He wants to have a ton of receivers on the field. He wants to be running it out of shotgun. So these are all characteristics of this Chan Gailey style offense. And I really do think it's a shame that I think Chad O'Shea was coming from a good place. I do think his offense did work pretty well, but again, it may have been his teaching that came up short. He was trying to teach a very complex system. He came from that Patriot system. He came from something that had years and years of foundation, that had a quarterback who had been there for almost two decades running the show and had receivers who were extremely experienced in the league. So all that combined, you would just have to be an extremely gifted coach at that standpoint. I think that's where a lot of coaches, you know, people don't respect him enough. Their ability to teach something that is regarded as that complex is a really good way to see if you have a good coach. And I do think that when you look at teams like the Patriots, who have either young guys going in and out, or they have veterans who are never really regarded as starter worthy going in and out, but having success in these complex systems, it really goes to show how good the system and the coaching they had over there was. But with that being said, I am going to give Chan Gailey the benefit of the doubt. I'm very excited to see that what he's able to do with Ryan Fitzpatrick and this kind of spread offense style. I do think it's going to focus a lot on these underneath routes, on making these RPO style plays. And I'm very interested to see, you know, if Tua gets some starting time this season, how is it going to look in this offense? You know, a lot of people talked about last year how effective he was on slant routes, and people kind of saying that was his, you know, one trick, like he was a one trick pony and all he does is throw slant routes. Well, in this Chan Gailey offense, it's going to feature a lot of these moving parts and a lot of motions and a lot of misdirection. That is going to be very interesting to see if Tua indeed gets some starting time this season. So to move on to the next topic, and is sticking with the quarterback, yeah, we're going to be talking about Josh Rosen. There are talks per Pro Football Talk that teams have been reaching out to the Dolphins with some interest in acquiring Josh Rosen from the team. And, you know, Josh Rosen, I was a big homer for him. I was banging on the drum for the Dolphins to trade him. When they ended up actually doing it, you may remember I kind of took a victory lap. I was very excited about it. And then it all came crashing down. It never really panned out. I don't think it was absolutely horrible as some people seem to remember it. I don't think it was like he was Nathan Peterman by any means. He was in a very tough situation to begin with. And when you combine that with this news that we're hearing now of Chad O'Shea and it being a very difficult offense and him just joining it with a bunch of moving parts, it was kind of a recipe for disaster. And, you know, I feel bad for the guy because he was in that, you know, another year right before that in his rookie season with Arizona, which was another recipe for disaster, changing offensive coordinators midway through the season. So it was just, it was tough to watch. And I do think Josh Rosen, in his first start, I believe it was against New England, where the team was getting blown out, and he had some beautiful passes. He threw one to Preston Williams along the sideline, which would have been a huge gain, and Preston Williams just flat out dropped it. And then he came out, you know, the very next player, the next play or two, he threw a bomb to Jakeem Grant. Would have been an easy touchdown. Jakeem Grant just dropped it. And then the next week, he got the start against the Cowboys. He threw a beautiful pass in the corner of the end zone to Preston Williams and just another drop. So, you know, when you have all that, when you have the momentum going against you, you just can't catch a break by any means. You have the offensive line, which is, you know, it's absolutely horrendous. You have the running game, which is non-existent. And I'm not saying all that to say that Josh Rosen is not to blame for some of this, but to say that he was given a great opportunity and that he was in a position to succeed would be a downright lie. And I do think that some team, if they get him and if they have a good situation, they could still make him a starter. Like, he could still develop into something. And I'm not going to say the Dolphins made a bad move by trading for him. I do think that with the quarterback position, with the value it has, anytime you have an opportunity to get a potential franchise quarterback at a cheap price, and that's what you need, you desperately need that, then, and you're only trading up a second round pick to get it, a guy who was picked in the top 10, then you have to go out and get it. And they went out and did it. It didn't work, but I like that they took the chance. It was, you know, a fairly low risk in a very, very high reward situation, and they did it. And, you know, frankly, even though it didn't pan out, I do think that he could succeed somewhere else, and I'm not mad about any part of this situation. Now, I'm not somebody who is going to continue to say that Josh Rosen should be the starter for this team. I do think it would be an interesting play for them if they were to start him, and he plays well enough to increase his trade value, and that potentially turns into something, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. I mean, everything kind of points to the Chan Gailey hiring as Ryan Fitzpatrick being the chosen mentor, being the chosen bridge, and it being him straight to two. That's kind of the feeling I've been getting recently. So trading Josh Rosen at that point would make sense. I do think that a team would be willing to give up a solid day two pick still for him just because of the upside of it and them recognizing he hasn't been in a good situation. And I do think the Dolphins, with the ability to kind of keep him as a cheap backup still, you know, they have some leverage against some of these teams who would want to go out there and make a trade for him. But do I think that makes the most sense, keeping him around as a backup? I mean, it's not a horrible deal, but if you could get a great trade out of the guy and use that to continue building the roster, I mean, you know Tua's the guy. That's beyond any doubt. So if you could continue building another part of the team, then I think it makes all the sense in the world to, you know, trade him and put him in a position where he could succeed, because he still really hasn't been given a proper opportunity in my eyes. And frankly, I think it would just be the right thing to kind of do. So that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. I would love to know what you all think. Feel free to reach out with any thoughts. You can reach me at Shady Steven on Twitter, or you can reach me at Via The Source. And if you can, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. It would be a huge help. I do plan on posting more videos on there. And if you could leave a review on the Apple Podcast app, it would help a ton, guys. And that is how I'm going to wrap it up. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via The Source.